Well, it is a blessing, and I do specifically remember Brother Seth and Brother John coming down to visit. I think it was Brother Seth's brother that also came, but they helped us before we even started the church. They helped us paint. They helped us clean up the first building that we showed in the Sunday school class. I remember them coming down and big blessing to us, helping us get started, and went out knocking doors together. And it's a blessing to know that both of those men, all three of them actually are going on for the Lord. So that's a big blessing for us. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I believe I got this on. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to look at a portion of Scripture here, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Again, if you weren't here during the Sunday school class, as a family, we want to thank you for supporting us as your missionaries. And as we already mentioned, we're trying to do the same thing down there that you're doing here. It's a blessing to be in a church where something's happening. Amen? You look at the things on the bulletin and hear the announcements, and also go to the Good News Mission. I saw that on there. So it's a blessing to be where things are happening. Amen. So not all of our, unfortunately, not all of our supporting churches are going on doing the things they ought to be doing, but we're thankful that they support us. Amen. But it's also a blessing to be back in a church where things are happening. So if you have your place there in 2 Timothy, if you'll stand out of reverence for God's word, and we want to look at just the first five verses of the scripture here. Paul is writing to a young preacher boy, Timothy, and he's trying to, it looks like it here, he's trying to encourage him. I don't know exactly what's happened between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, but it almost seems like Paul is, in 1 Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy, and Timothy's really excited to do something for God, but it appears, in verse number 4, it talks about the tears of Timothy, but it appears that something's happened, and Paul is trying to encourage him to keep going on in the things of the Lord. And I just want to look at these verses of Scripture. Verse number 1, I'll read it, and if you'll just follow along. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Verse number 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Father, for your children that have chosen to be here in your house today. And Lord God, I thank you for each person that's here. And God, I just pray that you would just give us something from your word that would encourage us. And Lord God, would strengthen us, give us exactly what it is that we need to keep going on for you. Father, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't exactly have the assurance of their salvation, is not exactly sure that if they were to die that they would go to heaven, I pray that this day you would help them to make that decision, to place all their faith and trust in your Son. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would use your word now in each one of our hearts, and that we might, before we leave here, make a decision, Father, that will be firm to just continue in the things that we have been given, to continue to serve you, to be faithful to you. Lord, we love you. Pray now that you'll bless your blessed word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things I notice here in verse number 5, Paul is encouraging Timothy, and then he says, talking about his faithfulness and about the faith that he has. Look at verse number 5, if you would, one more time. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Talking about the faith that he was able to see in his grandmother and that he was able to see in his mother, that same faith now affected Paul, or affected Timothy in a real way. You know what that says to me? It says that our faithfulness to the Lord will affect other people. When they see that we're being faithful in what it is that God's called us to do, when they see that we just stick at the stuff and we just stay by God, when it's easy and when it's hard, that we're just faithful in what it is that God's called us to do, and we're faithful at doing the mission that God's given to us, God turns around and uses that in the life of other people to encourage them to also be faithful. And so we look at Timothy here, and it's really kind of telling here. It's saying that faith that you have, Timothy, he said, I first saw it in your grandmother. And then I saw it in your mother. He says, and now I see it in you. What a blessing it is to know that the life that you and I live today will impact others for tomorrow.
Right.
Amen. But a lot of times I think that the enemy sometimes will try to convince us that our life really doesn't matter. That nobody's looking. That it's not going to make the difference in the life of your children. It's not going to make the difference in the life of those around you. Can I tell you what? Nothing could be farther from the truth. Because your faithfulness matters. Your faithfulness in doing what it is that God's called you to do, to be in your place, to continue to raise the standards of God, to lift up His name, makes a difference. Amen. And we need to just constantly be reminding ourselves of that. One of the things that happens, and it's a little bit sad, but one of the things that happens for missionaries, sometimes we come back to churches and we might turn around and we look at the pastor and we say, well, where's brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? And the pastor has to look at me kind of sheepishly and say, well, they're no longer in church. They're no longer serving the Lord. They got offended with something. Something happened, and they're out of the house of God, and they're not doing anything for the Lord.
Right.
And boy, it's so sad, because sometimes we look at those decisions that that person makes, and we realize that it'll also affect people for the negative. But can I tell you what? The opposite is also an encouragement to us. When we come back and we hear things like Brother John going on, not just to visit us down in Mexico, but now being a pastor. Amen. What a blessing. And can I tell you that in the next couple, when we come back, and I don't know when it'll be, hopefully your pastor will come down to visit us. Amen. Amen. But when we come back, wouldn't it be a blessing to us to be able to recognize your face and say, hey, I remember you. Look, what a blessing it is to see you serving God. What a blessing it is to see you being faithful. And I tell you what, that other people are watching you. You may not realize it. You might not understand the impact that you're having, but other people are watching you and I, and we ought to be faithful to do exactly what it is that God's called us to do. Now, many would say, well, Brother Brian, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a pastor. We're not all called to do the same thing, but we're all called to serve. We're all called to look for a place in our local church to serve, to be busy about the Lord, in His service, in His work, in His word. And many times what happens is the devil gets involved in our lives, and maybe it's not something so overt or something that you can put your finger on it, but he gets us so busy doing all kinds of things that we find that we put the things of God on the back burner. Or we just become a little bit cold in the things that we ought to be hot and involved in, and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to have you shine forth in my life. Can I tell you what? Your faithfulness to the house of God makes a difference. Your faithfulness to our Father, our Heavenly Father, makes a difference. I want to look at a couple of areas where your faithfulness will make a difference. Just mentioned the first one. Your faithfulness in church makes a difference.
Amen.
Amen. Just being faithful to the house of God makes a difference. If you would, go with me over to 1 Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy, so you don't have very far to go. Go with me over to 1 Timothy and look here, talking about the house of God and the importance of the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, in verse number 14, it says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Can I tell you what? God has set up his local church so that we might be rooted. Amen?
Right.
I don't know how many of you noticed. You could watch the news and find out everything that's happening in the world today, and this world is not rooted in anything. The devil's attempting to make everything gray instead of black and white, but can I tell you what? According to the Word of God, God has given us truths that are eternal, that are forever settled in heaven.
Yeah.
And you and I will stand one day before a holy God, and we'll give an account of this word before him. It doesn't make a difference what's happening in society. It doesn't make a difference of the perversity that's being pushed upon us on every side. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of glory. Amen. And so we would be wise as his children to just get behind the Word of God and get behind the two things that he has given to us, two physical things that he had given to us before he went back to his Heavenly Father. He gave us his holy word and he gave us his church.
That's right.
Amen. We ought to be faithful to the house of God. You say, "Well, I don't always feel like it." Well, that's all right. You don't need to feel like always being obedient. Amen. You just need to be obedient because it's the right thing to do. And can I tell you what? In the times when I've come to the house of God and maybe I've been tired, maybe you worked all night long, and maybe it was the one time that you considered staying at home. You considered just snuggling up to that pillow a little bit more. You considered just staying in there, especially when it's nice and cold out. Can I tell you what? Every time that I've come to the house of God, I've received a blessing. Amen. Every time the Word of God is opened up, there's something that I can receive. Because this book was inspired by the blessed Holy Spirit. That's the same Spirit that dwells in you and I. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that Holy Spirit that you have that dwells in you is the same thing that communicates to you through His Word. And can I tell you what? It's always a blessing to be in the house of God. Besides that, it's an encouragement to other people. The Bible here uses a word saying it's a pillar. A pillar is something that gives strength. You need strength in your life? Be faithful to the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen? The weakest Christian you'll ever find is the Christian that says, "Well, I'll go when it's convenient."
That's right.
You know what? The devil will never make it convenient for you.
He'll
always put obstacles. He'll always have somebody call you in the morning about 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning to tell you about something else or to get your mind off of the things of God. The devil will always put obstacles in your path.
Yeah, you're right.
But you and I just need to decide, you know what? I'm a child of God. And when those doors are opened up, I'm going to be there by His grace.
Yeah.
Make that decision, because you and I need firmness in the society in which we're living. Your faithfulness to God's house will encourage the weak. When people just see that you're faithful and that you're just staying by the stuff and you're doing what it is that God's called, the immature Christians will look to you and say, "Well, if he can do it, so can I." But it requires that you and I be found faithful. Your faithfulness to God's house won't only just encourage weak Christians. I'll be honest with you, it'd encourage your pastor. Amen?
Amen?
You say, "Well, my pastor doesn't need encouragement. He's a tough man." You know what? It's an encouragement to be able to preach to somebody. Amen. I remember, I wasn't planning on doing this, but I remember when Brother Danford was here, he invited me to preach one time. And do you remember this story?
Yeah.
And we came and the doors were locked. I think it was on a Wednesday night. The doors were locked, and they were waiting for somebody to come, and then nobody came. This was many years. This was 20-plus years ago. Nobody came. You know what? There was a little lawnmower, or a riding lawnmower out here, and I made my wife sit on that riding lawnmower, and I preached to her. Amen? She was the only one that stood. She's the only one that stood up, you know? Amen. Hey, you know why? Because it'll encourage your pastor to have someone to preach to. Amen. You know, over there it talks about Moses, and when he was going against the Amalekites, Aaron and Hur, remember they raised up Moses' arm? You know what? Encourage your pastor. Amen. But most of all, be faithful to your master.
That's right.
Amen. To show him your faithfulness. It's easy for us to sit back and to request things at God's hands and say, God, I need your help in my family. I need your help in this situation. Please help me. But if we're not faithful to his house, folks, then a lot of that time that can be in vain. And God in mercy, he gives us things that we do not deserve. But the very bare minimum that you and I can do is make a decision to be faithful to the house of God. And your faithfulness in the house of God, in the church, makes a difference. I'm going to look at a second thing. Your faithfulness during afflictions makes a difference. When people just see you be faithful when things are not going very well, when you're suffering, you're going through heartache, can I tell you what? When people see your faithfulness during those times, it makes a difference. Makes a difference. If you would go with me over to Job, I'm just finishing my personal devotions reading through Job, and what a blessing it is to see that even though his so-called friends came alongside of him to encourage him, they just ended up attacking and picking at him. And very little grace was found in those verses. But if you would go with me over to Job chapter 13, I love a summary of what Job's going through, and he's going through the hardship of his life. But look at chapter 13, look at verse number 15. What it says here. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. What a blessing. Job chapter 13, verse number 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We don't always know exactly what it is that God's doing. We don't know how God's working. We don't know the great plan that he has designed for our lives. But can I tell you what? When we show our faithfulness to God and we stay doing what it is that we ought to be doing when we're suffering, that makes a great difference. Now, nobody here wants to sign up for the list to suffer. Amen. Pastor passes the sheet around. You can just pass it to the next person. None of us want to sign up for that list. Amen. But if God, in his divine will, has times that he wants us to pass through suffering and heartache and hardship, can I tell you what? Be faithful to God. The saddest thing is that when people are suffering, sometimes they'll either get up close to God or they'll run away from God. You and I ought to be wise enough to get up close to God when you're going through things that you don't know what's going on. When you can't figure out what God's doing, you can't figure out the situation. You know what you ought to do? Get up close to God. Amen. When you're in trouble, when you're fearful, get up close to God. Amen. We go soul winning, of course, over there in Mexico, and there's an inordinate amount of loose dogs in Mexico. And they're all seem like they got an attitude. Amen. It's dangerous to go soul winning. Amen. But we go. But I remember my son, there was a dog one time that was trying to get around behind us to nip at us. Amen. Or to bite us. And you know what my son did? My son came up real close to me and he got behind Daddy. Amen. Wise. I told my son, the worst thing you can do is run. Right? Worst thing you can do when a dog's after you is to run. And so my son come up close to Daddy. And he knows I got these boots and I will use them on that dog. Amen. Can I tell you what? Spiritually speaking, the worst thing you can do is run from God when you're going through heartache. when you're going through affliction, when you're going through a rough time, the most beautiful thing you could do is get up close to your Heavenly Father. And just say, Lord, I need you. Amen. Your faithfulness during afflictions makes a difference. It gives you an opportunity to show the grace of God in your life. It's real easy to talk about how much we love the Lord when things are going well. Amen. When we got everything figured out, it's easy to say, I love the Lord. But you know when it matters most? You know when it counts the most is when things are not going your way. When you're suffering and when you don't know the way out and you're looking around and you, all you can do is just count on your hands the different problems that you have and you have absolutely, you know what you ought to do? Just be faithful to God. And that way they can see God's grace through your faithfulness. See God's grace. They can see God's strength through your faithfulness to Him. They can see God's peace in your life if you'll just stay faithful to Him. God desires to use things in our life, things that you and I would rather not deal with, things that you and I would rather discard and say, no, I don't want to have to pass through that. I don't want to have to go through that tragedy. I don't want to have to. Can I tell you what? God can use the worst things to bring honor and glory to His name, but it requires that you and I stay faithful. It won't always be easy to come to the house of God. Stay faithful. It won't always be easy to pick up your Bible and spend time in the presence of God and in fellowship with Him during your devotions. Stay faithful. That way God can be seen through your life. His grace, His strength, His peace can be seen in your life. But it requires that you and I be found faithful. There's one gentleman in Mexico. His name is Brother Elias, and he has since passed on, and he's gone to be with the Lord. But this brother was, how old was Brother Elias when he passed away? 86 or something like that. We would go by and pick him up in the van and pick him up for church. And this brother had his knees were very damaged, very much. I think he used to mix clay like that all day long, mix big old piles of clay. And so his knees were shot, and so he had two canes that he would walk around with. And I said, Brother Elias, we'll be there to pick you up at a certain time. If we were ever late, we would see Brother Elias on top of that little hill, not a mountain, but a hill, going with his two canes trying to get down to the house of God. And I'd go over there and I'd get on to him. I'd say, Brother, we're late, but we're here. You don't need to. We will come for you. But just seeing his faithfulness to God made a difference in my life. Wow. Amen. Amen. Because I saw somebody, even though they were struggling, even though they were going through affliction, being faithful to God. Your faithfulness will make a difference. We'll look at another area that our faithfulness makes a difference. Your faithfulness, not just during your afflictions, but your faithfulness during victories, right, will also make a difference. Make a difference. If you would, go with me over to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see another verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5. And I'll explain exactly what I'm talking about here, about during victories. When God begins to do something in your life and He begins to change your life and He works in your family, I want you to see that this brings honor and glory to God. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. I love this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. That's the purpose of a Christian, though, that people can look at us and not glorify us, not think of how good we are, not think of what it is that we're doing for God, but that they can turn around and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. You know the purpose of your life is that you might bring honor and glory to God? The sad thing is we're taught the exact opposite in our culture nowadays. We're taught that life is about us, that we're number one. Can I tell you what? You're not number one. You're not number two. Matter of fact, you're not even in the running. Amen. The purpose of your life being saved by the grace of God is so that people can see what God's doing in your life and they can turn around and glorify your Heavenly Father. Amen. That's what this verse says. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we're living nowadays in a culture that's a self-promoting culture. But we're just promoting ourselves, you know. You get on Facebook and you see everybody's the most perfect picture. Amen. The beautiful sunset. Amen. Nobody gets up in the morning with their hair all standing up and takes a picture and posts it to Facebook, right? No, we don't want people to see that. You know, they see what your wife sees every morning. Amen. Amen. No. What? People get the best picture, and I understand it. Amen. I don't want to put it. I got three little hairs here, and they stand up right in front. I don't want people to see that. Amen. And I tell you what, the sad thing is our culture is all about self-promotion. Look what I did. Look what I'm accomplishing. Look at my car. Look at it. Can I tell you what? That's the opposite of what Christ taught us. Christ taught us to put others before us, to prefer others. Amen? To give the preference to others. Yeah. And sadly, even among Christians, many times we fall into this mentality that the world is promoting about it being about us, and it's not about us. You go over there, we won't turn right now, you go over to Revelation chapter 4, and it talks about the purpose for our life. Verse number 11 talks about the purpose of our life is so that what? We were created for His pleasure. Amen. You're created for the pleasure of God. So when God blesses you and you have victories, you know what you ought to do? Give Him the glory. Just keep being faithful and give Him the glory for what He's done in your life. The lost need to see a different spirit in us. You're saved by the grace of God. You know what your lost family members need to see in your life? Something different. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We were saved. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been saved, and the Bible talks about us being a new creature in Christ. Right. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God desires to use you and I. He desires for us to be something different. Yeah. And the sad thing is many times we want to conform to what everybody else is doing. And we want to come under, and we want to fit in. Can I tell you what? You've been called out to be different. Amen. You've been called to be different. You've been called to stand out. You've been called to shine forth the light. Why? Because that's the purpose that God has given to us, that we might reflect His glory. Amen. The world needs to see somebody that's different, needs to see somebody that stands up for some things. Can I tell you what? The world is ready to stand up for their perversity. I mean, on every hand, they're shoving it in our faces. True or false? If you don't see it, then your eyes are closed. Amen? On every hand, they're trying to promote things that's perversity, things that are contrary to the Word of God. And you and I, sometimes we stand back and we get real quiet. One thing that your pastor, I don't know if you were praying or if you just mentioned it, you talk about now that the closet's open, they're trying to shove us in the closet. Amen? Stand up for God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Stand, it doesn't mean you got to be mean. Doesn't mean you got to be ugly, but stand up for the things that are right. Stand up for the principles that we find in God's Word. Allow the victories that God is using in your life to be able to affect other people with the gospel. Amen. We have the message that changes hearts. Amen. You go knocking on doors, you're not promoting McGregor Road Baptist Church, you're promoting Jesus.
Right.
And if they want to find out more about Jesus, come to McGregor Road Baptist Church.
Right.
Amen. But principally, we're promoting Jesus. We're lifting Him up. So during your victories, make sure that you're faithful. Did you just stay close to God? Because God wants to use that in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
So that others can come to know Him, that they can understand that grace. One of the things that I said in the video, and it's so true, As many times you and I, we take for granted some of the stories of the Bible. Yeah. And we take for granted words like grace, mercy, salvation, forgiveness. Oh, we're used to that. Yeah, thank the Lord for His grace, for His mercy, for His free. No, you don't get it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how long it's been since you've been saved. God, in mercy, even though we deserve hell,
right,
in mercy, He saved us.
Wow.
He reached out for us while we were on our way to hell. And in grace, somebody got the gospel to us. In grace, somebody invited us to the house of God. In grace, somebody shared with us some spiritual principles, and the Holy Spirit of God came up and convicted us of our need.
Amen.
And God, in mercy, picked us up,
Amen.
Forgave us of all of our sins, and has a home prepared for us in heaven someday. That's the gospel. And that's what you and I have, but many times we stand back and we have such a precious gift of the gospel and we hold it to ourselves because of pride, sometimes because of fear. The devil gives us a million reasons why not to devote our life in sharing that message. Can I tell you what? It's worth it. Your faithfulness will make a difference. Number four, your faithfulness in your home makes a difference. I'll be faithful in church. I'll read the Bible in church. I'll pray in church. Can I tell you what? Your faithfulness at home in front of your kids makes a difference. Amen? You know that kids are the best people in the world for spotting a hypocrite?
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Amen? Teenagers, do you know that your parents also can spot a hypocrite? Anybody I haven't hit? Let me see who else. Amen. Hey, preachers, amen.
Yeah.
You know, your family knows if you're a hypocrite at home.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. But you and I ought to strive to take the things that we receive in the house of God and make sure that they're put in practice at home. Amen. We're not perfect, and whoever is maybe sitting back judging you at this moment, they're not perfect either. Amen. But we need to strive to do what? To make sure that at home that we're promoting God's word and that we're striving to honor Him. Even though we have failures and we mess up, you ought to keep striving to keep God's word ahead of you. No doubt you know of this verse. I'm just going to read it over there in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And verse number 18, it says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets before your eyes. And ye shall speak them," speaking about the words of Christ, "and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse number 20, "And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." I mean, it just covered everything, right? He says, hey, when you lay down, speak of Jesus. Amen. When you're getting up in the morning, speak of the Lord. Amen. Write them on the doorpost of your house. Just everywhere. Can I tell you what? The same things that we receive here, we need to put into practice in our homes.
Yeah.
Your faithfulness can make a difference in the life of your spouse because they see that you're faithful.
Yeah.
Your faithfulness could make a difference in the life of your children or your grandchildren because they see that you're faithful. I remember specifically my grandmother was getting up there in age, and in her house there in South Texas, I remember hearing her talking to herself. I thought, oh, she's getting up there in age. She's talking to herself. And I'd get a little bit closer, and she was down the hallway on the left-hand side was her bedroom. And I went up close, and I could hear her praying for me. I thought, wow.
Can I tell you what? Just seeing her faithfulness, I have no idea how it impacted my life. But can I tell you what? Your faithfulness at home will make a difference. Maybe in the life of your husband. Maybe in the life of your wife. The sad thing is many times we're waiting for somebody else.
Right.
And everybody's waiting for somebody else to serve. And everybody else is waiting for somebody else to be faithful. Everybody else is waiting for somebody else to raise the standards. And every time we're waiting for somebody else, when it's God has called us to be the faithful ones. I'm going to say something that might surprise you. Your faithfulness could make a difference in the life of your parents, young people. Amen. You say, well, I'm just a young person. Can I tell you what? I can't tell you how many times I've seen my son do something for the Lord, right, to stand up for something, and it encourages me and convicts me.
Right.
Young people, your faithfulness could encourage your parents.
Amen.
Amen. Don't listen to the devil who would tell you, no, that's for the adults. Hey, we ought to be faithful. Look at one other thing, and we'll head to the house. Your faithfulness until death makes a difference. Just be faithful, even unto death. If you would go with me over to Acts, we'll look at one more portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we'll look at some verses here. And Stephen has just got through preaching, and Stephen's getting ready to be stoned for the cause of Christ, and he's faithful. Even though he knows exactly what is in store for, he just stays faithful, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us there in verse number 55. Acts chapter 7, I want to look specifically at verse number 57. It says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." And it looked like his message was very well received. Verse number 58, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Most of us know that that young man, where they laid the clothes down at his feet, here named Saul, became Paul, who penned the majority of the New Testament. But before Paul was used to do such a great thing, he saw someone die maintaining their faith.
Amen.
Faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. Can I tell you what? We ought to be faithful unto death. God has called us to stand up for Him.
Yeah.
Each one of us. We're not just saved. You know what? What's said to me, sometimes I think some people just want to be saved, and they just want to maintain. They just want to hold out so that someday they can go to heaven. Can I tell you what? God has called us out, and He has saved us because He has a purpose for our life.
Yeah.
Amen? And I'm thankful that you're faithful to the house of God, but can I tell you what? It could be that God's calling you to do more. Could be that God's calling you to take that next step of faith. Maybe you've never been biblically baptized, and that's your next step of faith. Maybe it is when you have visitation time on Saturday, you've never arrived, and we haven't even talked about this, so don't get mad at your pastor, I have no idea. But it could be that maybe you've never come to a time to hand out God's word. I have absolutely no idea what your next step of faith is, but I know that God desires for us not to be satisfied with just the status quo. He desires to use us. He desires to put us into the ministry, even though it might not necessarily be to go preach in Mexico. Amen? And I hope it is. Amen. But God's called you to do something. But it's required that you and I be faithful. You know why? Because He's worthy. God's worthy. He's worthy of your life. He's worthy of your dedication. He's worthy of your sacrifice for His honor and glory. But it requires that we be found faithful. Faithfulness to the house of God is not something that you determine, or you ought not to determine it every Sunday morning. is something you determine once and you follow through. Because why? Because the devil will always give an excuse for not being in the house of God. We have to say, God, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want my children to see me faithful. I want my parents to see me faithful. I want to use my life for you. I want to use my life to proclaim your goodness. Folks, God is worthy. It's not just and it's not fair for us to say, God, I want your salvation, but I don't want responsibilities. Yeah. I want to be saved from hell. I don't want to burn forever in a place of torment. And yes, I'll receive your salvation, but don't put too much upon me. Yeah. Don't require too much of me. Don't require sacrifice on my part. Folks, God is worthy. And can I tell you what? You won't regret it. You get to heaven someday, you won't say, well, I think I was just a little too faithful. I think I just sacrificed a little too much for God. No, no. It's not going to happen. All of us are going to be a little bit ashamed, I think. So I could have gave more. I could have been more faithful at handing out gospel tracts. I could have been more faithful to the house of God. I could have been more faithful looking for places to serve. God desires to use us, but we must be faithful. What a blessing it would be at the end of your life to have a testimony like the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, that their faithfulness was now being able to be seen in the life of Timothy. Your faithfulness today will make an impact on others tomorrow, but you have to decide to be faithful.